When Capital and LBC launched in London, they couldn't use their proper AM frequencies thanks to a planning complication at the transmitter site. So they had temporary wavelengths, 417 and 539.
For Capital Radio, dial 539. The station what is simply super rooty. Amen.
But it was this week in 75 they moved their famous 194 and 261.
You're listening on the wavelength which, until recently, temporarily carried the medium wave service of Capital Radio, the independent local radio, general and entertainment service for the London area. You may like to know that Capital Radio medium wave service is now available only on the new wavelength, 194 meters. That's 1,546 kilohertz. The VHF service remains on 95.8 megahertz. This is the engineering information service of the Independent Broadcasting Authority.
Capital and LBC moving 45 years ago this week from their temporary transmitters at the Lotts Road power station in Chelsea, where they used an aerial dangling from chimneys. It was that same week, in 1975, that MPs voted at last to allow Commons proceedings to be broadcast on radio.
This is BBC Radio 4. We now join the BBC's political editor, David Holmes, for the historic first live transmission to the nation of the proceedings of the House of Commons.
This is David Holmes in the chamber of the House of Commons, waiting for an afternoon of what could be absorbing political interest, waiting for that to begin. Question time with Mr. Tony Benn and his Department of Industry team in just under 10 minutes from now. Then at 3:20, the Attorney General, Mr. Sam Silkin, will be answering. And then about 3:30, the Prime Minister will report on the referendum outcome and its consequences, with the House questioning him fairly closely after that. So it's a special day for us broadcasters in Parliament, and perhaps MPs feel that too.
A rather familiar topic in the eventual first broadcast from the House of Commons, approved by MPs this week 45 years ago. 1982 now, and good news for Inverness.
Hello, I'm Dave Cochran. I'll be here every morning, Monday to Friday, for the breakfast show. And it's really great to have you along on Murrayforth Radio. And the message in Barbara Dixon's record really sums it all up for today and for the rest of your life on Murrayforth Radio. Take good care.
On paper, it was disastrous and was not viable. And I think the IBA knew that. It was covering a massive area for a local radio station. I mean, it would take you the medium wave signal at night time reaching from Wick in the far north, which is effectively John O'Groats, to Fraserburgh at the other end of the Murray Firth. At least a 4-hour car journey, and then was 5 hours because the bridge didn't exist that links. Under 200,000 people, I think, in the patch. And nobody believed, really, that this was viable.
Thomas Prague reflecting on the launch of MFR this week 38 years ago, and it continues to this day. Ed Stewart was the defining voice of the weekend Junior Choice programme on Radio 1. He started his regular spell this week in 1968.
Always a favourite on Junior Choice, Neil Sedaka there, and happy birthday, Sweet 16. Now, we've got an anniversary to commemorate now. Mr and Mrs Jeffrey of Willow Way, Ferndown in Dorset, that's Nana and Grandad. Congratulations to you. It's your Ruby wedding anniversary today. Here on Radios 1 and 2, you're listening to Junior Choice, with the time coming up to 9:30. It's news time now with Julian Potter.
Ed Stewart, who began his Junior Choice days this week 52 years ago. That was the programme that had been children's favourites in the light programme days, changed as Radio 1 began. Brian Matthew died in 2017, and it was this week 3 years ago that his last show was aired.
That 1962 top five hit by Billy Fury brings me to the end of my reign as presenter of Sounds of the 60s, and I must say I've enjoyed every minute of my 27 years in this chair, and I'm saddened to leave. But I'll be back on Radio 2 in the near future with something new, so keep your eyes open for further information. And this is your old mate Brian Matthew saying, that's your lot for this week. See you again soon.
Brian Matthews' last words on the BBC. He'd been there since 1954. This week in 1971, Radio Humberside launched officially, but the story was a little more complex than that.
Radio Humberside, BBC. Day one was a bit of a variable feast because the country was in some difficulty around about that time. We were having rotated power cuts due to industrial action and problems the government were having and so on and so forth. The upshot of it all was that the power was going off to people's houses. It was being switched off for considerable periods of each day. Now, we had not officially come on air. I think the official launch date was February, but all this was happening, and we thought, well, we can't sit by and let the people of Humberside sit in darkness when we could do something to help. So I remember very distinctly we decided we would come on air early, which we did by several, well, I think it was about a couple of months.
This is BBC Radio Humberside on Rediffusion Channel B with a special news and information service.
The power situation. For the last 3 hours, Paul Heiney of Radio Humberside has been in the emergency operations room of the Yorkshire Electricity Board in Ferensway, Hull. From the YEB headquarters, he reports now.
The latest information is that the following areas are still...
The launch of Radio Humberside 49 years ago. So, with the end of the Pirate Britain Radio 53 years ago...
Oh, like a quality Britain Radio...
Bright new sounds of Radio Britain coming your
and
way.
And Sue McGregor's last Radio 4 Today programme 18 years ago.
It's 6 o'clock on Thursday the 22nd of August. Good morning, this is Today with Brian Redhead and Sue McGregor.
Those are this week's radio moments. And finally, as we approach all those landmark 100-year anniversaries of radio... It was this week, a century ago, that broadcasting tests began from the Marconi Company's New Street factory in Chelmsford. Two daily experimental half hours of speech, music and news. And I'll be reflecting, actually, on 100 years of radio at an event at Berg House in Hampstead. That's on March the 4th. Be great to see you there if you're a regular listener. Information and tickets at radiomoments.com.